Hello everybody and welcome to this special interview episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Katya Damborski, I'm the digital editor of Boat International, and today we're going to be exploring the topic of yacht sinking. Why do they sink, and has there been an increase in the number of sinkings, fires and accidents in the last year? So this is obviously off the back of the headline news of the tragic sinking of the 56-metre Perini Navi sailing yacht Bayesian, which sunk off the coast of Sicily in extremely tragic and I'd say unprecedented circumstances. The yacht was being used by British tech entrepreneur Mike Lynch, as well as the chair of Morgan Stanley Bank, Jonathan Bloomer. And at the time of this recording, we know that five of the six missing people that were on board the yacht when it sank have been found dead. This is the most recent but also the most disastrous yacht accident we've seen in recent memory. But it's also true that it seems there's been a big uptick in the number of yacht accidents in the last few months. In the last 3 weeks alone, we've had six yachts capsizing, grounding or sinking, three fires and two collisions. To delve into that data a bit deeper, we've pulled some numbers from our leading market intelligence tool, Boat Pro. So in 2024 so far, there's been a total of 18 casualties, with 12 yachts destroyed and six yachts that suffered an accident. What's interesting here is that there have been way more yachts destroyed and considered a total loss than in years past. In fact, if you go back as far as 2014, we can see that this year, 2024, was the worst year by far for yachts being destroyed, and the year is still far from over. The worst year of accidents as a whole was 2022, with a total of 22 yachts suffering some kind of misfortune. But if you look at the number of write-offs, there were only 9. So it does look like this was a pretty anomalous year. The safest year in terms of yachting accidents was 2021, but that is likely because of the pandemic and the fact that travel restrictions meant fewer people were cruising. Interestingly, apart from this year, the general trend that we're seeing is that more yachts are having accidents that they recover from, as opposed to accidents that see them completely written off, which begs the question, why are yachts becoming more accident prone? Is it the quality of the equipment? Is it something to do with the maintenance regime? Is it an issue of crew training? These are all very pertinent questions that will be cropping up more and more in light of this most recent disaster. And although we can't stress enough how tragic this incident is, it is really important to remember that these incidents are very rare. They do tend to dominate the headlines, but we have to remember the fleet is now made up of 13,000 yachts on the water, and yachts that have accidents are a really small percentage of that figure. Since insurers are involved every step of the way in accidents like this, today I am joined by Michelle van der Merwe, Superyacht Account Manager at Pantaneous Yacht Insurance, to look at this with us. Michelle, it's a pleasure to have you with us. To start with, there seems to have been an increase in incidents in the last couple of years. Do you think, are you seeing that reflected in the number of claims that you're getting?
Hi, thank you very much for having me. Yes, I think this is our view too. The number of major losses does seem to be higher. Although, as we know, as the fleet gets bigger each year, which needs to be taken into account, as well as the age of some of the fleet now. So that's also a factor. I think the other point is that whilst the number of yacht claims does seem to be getting higher, the instant way that yacht losses are posted on social media drives this perception in the wider world anyway. But I do agree that we are seeing more claims at the moment, and I'm not sure whether that's due to the fleet just getting bigger or there are other factors in that as well.
Okay, so the fleet's getting larger, older, and there's also more social media around, so that could be kind of influencing that perception.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. But the causes, they seem quite varied. You know, there's lots of fires, but there's also sinkings, yachts running aground. Do you think there are any threads that link them together? Any overarching trends or problems that you think might account for some of this increase?
I think there are two areas we can discuss here. One, in respect of fire, there is the increase in new propulsion technologies on board for main propulsion, but also seen in tender and toys, especially those with lithium batteries. And whilst we don't know the cause of some of the recent fires, some will be possibly due to lithium batteries and the use of storage and charging of. As we know, in this kind of industry, it's difficult to obtain data from some of the industry. But I'm sure that the designers and builders are sharing information on any areas of concern in order to improve on these future new technologies. I think more sharing of data is important for all of us to hopefully avoid certain losses in the future. It's also hard for the regulators and authorities to keep up with the new technologies, and they cannot build in safety standards fast enough before the yachts are being delivered, or almost. So it's a case of constantly staying on top of the developments and building, from our point of view, building a robust policy cover without detriment to the owner's use of the yacht. But we've also got to consider the experience of the crew and the training standards as well. I mean, obviously, with these new technologies, we should be including training on the use of some of this new equipment out there and what to do when things go wrong, how to limit the damage when it does without endangering life or increasing the loss. So that, I think there's lots of factors there that all kind of link in some of these cases.
That's really interesting. So what you're saying is that all this new development, we're not always able to keep up with them from like a classification or regulatory standpoint, or if we are, they're not quite matched, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think going off point a bit, there's certain new technologies in kind of foiling yachts where they're not kind of CE standard yet, some of the aspects. So it's difficult for insurers to kind of assess the risk sometimes when it's brand new technology and it hasn't been classified or certified. But I think the design and the technology is going at such a fast rate that it's difficult to keep up with that. So that's something that we as an industry have to keep on top of and just understand what's happening out there. I mean, for instance, we had a quote last week of a yacht. It's Hull Number One from a shipyard. It's got lots of new technologies on it. We're not familiar with that, so we obviously have to ask a lot more questions when we're assessing the risk.
All right. Well, let's look at Bayesian then, because that is not new technology. That is an older boat. And while we should certainly wait for the investigation into the cause of sinking, and I certainly wouldn't want you to speculate, it certainly seems that extreme weather was a factor here.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt we're seeing an increase in the frequency and violence of certain weather events, some of which are very sudden and one of the many consequences of climate change, as we know. For example, as we know, the higher ocean temperatures are a major source of energy and can generate extreme weather events such as hurricanes, flooding. I think I was reading last week that the highest surface temperature of the Med Sea was recorded last week.
Oh, really?
And some say that the global sea temperatures are hitting record highs, which will possibly fuel the Atlantic hurricane season. But added to this, these kind of weather events is the fact that there was more and more large and expensive yachts out there. Some are very, some would say, over-equipped with new electronics, for example. And in turn, safe harbours are now overcrowded, with the number of yachts maybe ending up in areas that are not sheltered or poorly sheltered. Or they're escaping the crowds and then also ending up in more remote areas. So fortunately, these factors are multiplying and therefore increasing the risks and a knock-on effect to eventual claims. So, so I would say for sure that we are seeing an increase in weather events.
And so if there has been an increase, has that affected policy prices, do you know?
Not at the moment, actually. We'll see what impact this actually has in the market in 2025, because obviously everything has an impact in a few months' time. But we haven't seen an impact on policy price at the moment, no. What we have seen is some of the conditions getting tighter on kind of crew manning levels, yachts at anchor, yachts left unattended in marinas. Those kind of conditions on policies are getting tighter, I've seen.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Whilst it's not affecting the premium per se, they are putting conditions of cover in place where, I don't know, yacht has to be manned at all times by X number of crew or that kind of thing. So that's happening now.
So they are actually tightening up, it sounds like, on safety measures, putting things in place to try and make sure yachts are more or less vulnerable to accidents.
Yes, I would definitely say that... there are things being put into place, and I can only see that probably increasing with what's happening this year.
Okay, and then going back to the weather then, do you think the sailing yachts are more vulnerable to extreme weather?
I mean, there's such a variety of yachts, it's difficult to make a general case of sailing yacht versus motor yacht, but it's certain that some sailing yachts may be more sensitive to wind load. And also they may be less motorised than a motor yacht, so therefore can't motor out as quickly away. But on the other hand, the stability of some motor yachts is often inferior to that of a sailing yacht, so actually it's difficult to give a precise answer to that one.
Yeah, I guess there's such variation between them.
Mm.
In a case where a yacht is hit by very sudden, like really fast-changing extreme weather, what is the standard protocol that crew should undertake?
Yeah, I mean, I think superyacht crew will have practiced drills for different types of incidents, and they will be following these as much as possible, depending on the type of yacht and cruising area that they're in, but also the speed of the event happening and the unexpectedness of it. And if there's more than one factor causing the incident, then this will all affect the outcome. So it's hard to say what the standard protocol will be, but I'm sure that most of the superyachts out there will have drills in place and recovery plans for every eventuality. It's just when there's more than one factor causing the incident that would cause problems, and obviously the unexpectedness of it. On speaking to our head of claims, his school of thought is that it's generally safer to weather a storm on open sea rather than an anchor, depending on the forecast. Close to the coast, high rolling waves can easily arise, which could jeopardise the safety of the yacht and the crew.
Yeah, of course. So again, without speculating, but in the case of Bazian, it seems to have happened incredibly quickly, so there was probably very little time to react. But do you think there are any common mistakes that either crew or guests make in situations like this, where they're suddenly hit by something unexpected, whether that be weather, whether that be some kind of emerging problem on the boat? Is there anything that crews and guests should avoid doing?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Obviously, there are always extreme panic in these situations. I can't imagine myself. I think the best way to try and manage incidents on board is to carry out regular training exercises, have regular briefings, and have a written procedure on board that's accessible to everyone, including the guests, and making sure that the guests are aware that, as we know, a vessel at sea, there are dangers out there, and making sure that the guests are fully aware of all the drills and procedures in the event of emergency as well.
Yeah, and I guess reacting very quickly and not waiting for a situation to become serious, actually, you know, taking action early. And is there a way to account for freak weather accidents in a policy? Is it treated any differently to another accident?
No, not really. I mean, there are factors that we have to look at, but most all-risk superyacht insurance policies from like reputable insurers will include cover for extreme weather events, such as recent incidents in the Mediterranean. Obviously, there are specific clauses for the Caribbean and East Coast USA for named tropical storms, and often loss or damage due to named storms will be excluded during the hurricane season or insured with stricter conditions. The same applies in the Pacific area for typhoon season. Mm. But at the moment, there's nothing in the Mediterranean for specific to weather. I mean, maybe we will see something similar in the Mediterranean years to come due to the climate change. But I think we're some way off this at the moment, as these are still kind of freak and rare events here. They're not, you know, they're not, hopefully not going to become more of the norm.
Yeah. So a weather accident would never be treated as some kind of act of God that was kind of impossible to avoid. It's always just, that's the weather, it falls under that umbrella.
Yeah, I mean, in a superyacht policy we're talking about, there would be cover for this, but there are probably some smaller boat policies out there that have certain exclusions.
Okay.
Certain weather events, but in a normal superyacht policy, that shouldn't exclude it.
So can you tell me how it works when there are a variety of factors in play in an accident? Do you maybe have any examples of what happens when a yacht has been hit by more than one contributing factor?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of examples here that might illustrate kind of events that happened to the final outcome. We had a 40 metre anchored off Saint Jean Cap Ferrat with a 35 metre of chain, which was considered insufficient really for a boat of this size, so that would be the first factor. The weather forecast wasn't really checked properly, and bad weather was forecast, so that was the second factor. Then at that particular time there was no watch or lookout on the yacht, third factor, and they were actually advised to leave the area as the other yachts had done, which they didn't. And therefore the yacht moved, and as there was no one on watch, the yacht actually ended up on the rocks. I mean, this was an extreme case, and you would hope that this wouldn't be the norm. I mean, most crew were freshly managed with professional crew, and this wouldn't happen, but it just shows you that there was several different factors mm-hmm. that caused the yacht to actually ever end up on the rocks. Just a series of bad decisions, really.
That's really interesting. So you look at all those factors individually, and if, for example, the anchor chain had been sufficient, that might have affected the outcome of this.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm not the technical claims expert, but from talking to my colleagues, then it sounds like, yes. I mean, ultimately, there should have been someone on watch anyway, and the weather forecast checked, but possibly if it was a longer chain, then it might have helped improve things.
Yeah, and if there'd been a watch, you know, that would have also changed the outcome. So it's all these different factors that come into it. I guess that's what we'll see with this Bayesian incident, is that, you know, was it just the weather? Was there something else at play here that caused this? And all those kind of perfect storm of factors would have probably led to this.
Yeah, we know of another large claim where the triggering incident was the propulsion failure and bad weather with it. And actually it had an engineer that was not really familiar with the yacht. There was additional water ingress and the yacht actually sank. There, the damage stability being compromised by modifications to the yacht, which were outstanding class issues. So once the investigation was done, there was lots of kind of contributing factors in that one as well. We had another one where the crew didn't secure the anchors properly, and due to just, again, inexperience on a new build yacht, maybe didn't have full training or something. And one of the anchors dropped during the maiden voyage in the first bad weather that was encountered by the yacht.
Oh, wow.
The anchor then got caught in the propeller and breached the hull in the steering gear room. The yacht was designed actually with a watertight steering gear room, but following structural modification on the fuel tanks during the build, the bulkhead was breached by the modification and it was never reinstated properly. So therefore, it was a catalogue of kind of things that have caused this one to happen. And because the water tightness criteria of the steering gear room was not compulsory for flag, it was never identified. And the yacht flooded and capsized. So as I said, it's not just one factor. It's often lots of a multitude that ends up in the final outcome.
Yeah. No, I see that. But so those incidents you just mentioned, I don't think I know of them. So I guess not all of them make it to the media, right? Some of them are actually happening quietly.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of these were quite a few years ago, where you'd hope that lessons have been learned from that. A couple are more recent, but I don't think this year, actually. So that's probably why. Yeah. But it's just to illustrate that there's so many different things that, it's not just often one thing that causes the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so just back to Bayesian then, what do you think the repercussions of this incident will be on the market as a whole?
I mean, to be honest, I think we need to look at the wider marine market rather than just the recent events of this, particularly this year, to answer this question. Many of the bigger insurers will be participating in some way, and the major losses we saw that fall outside the yacht space. So, for instance, the Baltimore Bridge and the Lurston Shipyard fire. So this will impact those insurers and then maybe have a knock-on effect on the yacht market. Add to that the recent yacht cases, it's not unforeseeable that some insurers will probably review their appetite, some of their capacity, or even their participation in the yacht market. But, I mean, we're jumping ahead a bit there, but that possibly could happen. In some ways, the series of incidents draws a parallel with 2017-2018 period, where Lloyd's and others undertook a fundamental review of the market. This was not restricted yacht business, though, but focused on areas of the market where performance wasn't so good, but made sure that those insurers had robust plans in place for the future. So whether that kind of situation will happen again, I don't know. Hopefully not, but we never know. I mean, we've also got to bear in mind it's not the end of the year yet, and we've got quite a active Atlantic storm season predicted. So, you know, that could have some factors on this as well. But 100% that the claims this year is going to affect the premiums, I'd imagine, in some form next year.
Interesting. Okay.
I think we've also got an ongoing issue of lack of regulation on the private yachts as well, which factors in some claims regarding, you know, crew qualifications and safety requirements on the yacht. And as I said earlier, we insurers are implementing more and more conditions of cover to help with the safety of the crew and the yacht, which will hopefully then avoid some of these major losses. But really, if flag states were to implement some of the regulations that apply to commercially registered yachts, I don't know, maybe this would improve the safety in some of the private yachts out there. So that's something for, I know that's something that insurers always talk about at all the events, but it's still a topic.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you think, so just so I'm clear then, like a charter yacht is subject to more regulations than a private yacht generally?
Yeah, so I think, yeah, generally commercial yachts are, obviously they have to follow flag state regulation. And there are some private yachts out there that don't have to follow those same regulations according to the flag state. Some voluntary comply, but I just think that the safety requirements on a yacht should be for the same for all yachts, regardless of whether they're commercially or private. But of course, that's something that is a topic that we all talk about all the time, so I'm not sure when that will change.
Okay, but this review that you mentioned, is that something that Pantaneous would lead or be involved with, or is that something you'd kind of participate in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, we've got the London market that they would be doing their own kind of market review, and we kind of follow that to a certain extent. But I think in respect of Pantaneous and how all these incidents will affect us, and we tend to focus on our stability, having just celebrated 125 years, and knowing that we're often not as susceptible to the big market swings as some of the others. We're hoping that the events this year will not impact us too greatly, but it's yet to be well seen. We'll have to see towards the end of the year. But the general review will be done by all the bigger organisations themselves, and then possibly there would be a Lloyd's review, but that's way too early to say at this stage.
Okay. Michelle, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for listening to this very special episode of Boat Briefing. Boat Briefing is a production of Boat International Media, and it is mixed and produced by Adam Geist and Naomi Wilson. We will see you again next week.